tonight, here's the thing. Now, normally, he's here and he reports in from some exotic place around the world. And we will do some, you know, interesting twin towns if we can. And we just find out how much luxury he has managed to attain in that particular week. And of course, I'm referring to Andy Mossack. Now, he's been here on the show doing that feature for about a little over 12 years. The thing with Andy is, of course, that for decades, he's one of the nation's travel reviewers. He's one of the nation's top travel reviewers. He's been featured on this show. He's been on, you know, actual radio programs. He's been in newspapers and the Telegraph many times down the years. He's an enormously respected travel writer. And obviously, we had the speech that came out today from Parliament with the Foreign Secretary talking about the, you know, the 30 days, everybody back. Andy's going to come on. But there is no mystery as to where he is. The answer is he's in his house. However, it's had a massive impact on the world that he lives in. And he can give us like a unique insight in all of this. And actually, I suppose, answer some of our questions about where we stand in all of this. So Andy's got a lot to offer on this topic. He is genuinely an expert, even though all we do nothing but poke fun at the man. He is an actual expert in what he does. And so he's going to be here about an hour from now, maybe a little later, about 11:15. He's live. He's going to be here with us, and we'll talk about the wider issues. So aside from lots of your questions getting answered, any breaking news as it happens, the travel situation, summed up with Andy Mossack, that's Oren and No Judgment here on The Late Show. It's 20 past on the BBC, Yorkshire, Lincolnshire, North Derbyshire. Now, ordinarily when we would do this, this music heralds the arrival of one man in particular, and we've had a couple of clues trying to figure out where he is in this globe of ours. However, he was supposed to make an appearance, I think it was last week. He was due to make an appearance, I think, in a couple of weeks. And now, obviously, with the situation being what it is, Andy Mossack is at home. So I guess that's where we're saying you are, Andy.
I am in, yes, indeed, in the lounge.
In the lounge. We were correct. We had a guess at being in the lounge. Thank you so much for coming on here. Because I've got to say.
Oh, pleasure.
You've been a travel writer for how long, Andy?
30 years.
30 years, yeah. In the game. Have you ever known anything like this?
I was trying to think of that today, you know. Not really. I think the closest I can really put it as is really the 9/11. That was the world sort of stopped for about 2 months, maybe. No Americans flew anywhere. I mean, the whole world came to a standstill. And that's probably the only thing, the climactic event like that I can remember. And SARS was another one, but that wasn't anywhere near like this, was it? I mean, this is just extraordinary. And it's just been building, really, isn't it? I mean, and the uncertainty for everybody, that was the thing that got me, you know. It's just as the weeks went on from sort of mid-January, you could sense something was gonna be.
Oh, Andy, are you there?
Because there was so much uncertainty. Nobody knew what was going to happen. At least now there's a little bit of clarity for us, isn't there?
Well, we had the announcement today, didn't we, from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office about all, I mean, this is extraordinary, all non-essential foreign travel should be halted.
Globally, yeah. And that's as far as things like insurance are concerned, everything, that makes it very, very clear. And I also think that, you know, the airlines are slowly getting their act together too, because there was so much uncertainty on the websites about what you could get, how could you get a refund, how could you do this, could you cancel? And, you know, slowly but surely they were organising themselves. And I think now it's pretty clear. But certainly the package that was presented today is going to go, I think, you know, some ways to help businesses, for sure. It's particularly in the travel business.
Now, you've got contacts and friends who work in the trade all over the world. Mm. And, you know, we've had them on here on the show many times. I mean, have you been in, especially over the last couple of months here, have you been in contact with some, you know, hoteliers and people who own this?
Yeah.
They must have been terrified. This is their livelihoods they're seeing, isn't it?
It's worse, I think, for the sort of privately owned, hoteliers who've got, bed and breakfast or, small properties. I've got an English colleague. He's got four hotels in Lake Como, actually. And I was talking to him about it. I said, "Listen, you know, are you okay? What's going on over there?" And because they're in complete lockdown, he has to get a signed document approved just to allow him to step outside. It's ridiculous, honestly. And he's shut the doors. Obviously, they can't operate anything. But he has to print off a document, get it signed and approved by the council before he can literally step outside his door. So
And this is
that's the
Northern
kind
Italy,
of,
isn't it?
yeah, Northern
Yeah.
Italy, Lake Como. And it's just, he said, he's just literally living from one day to the next at the moment. So these people are really up against it. But I'm not too depressed in the sense that I know what the travel industry is like. It's very adaptable and it's very creative. And once we get through this, they will find great ways to entice us back again. Because, at the end of the day, this is what we want to do, isn't it? We want to travel.
Yeah.
And perhaps even staycations may be becoming more popular. People can, look at why bother traveling abroad when we can have some great holidays in Britain. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I know that the travel industry will always bounce back. And I'm really, really pleased that the government have said that they've used those words, whatever it takes. And they will help airlines and ferry companies and cruise lines. I mean, it is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's just the scale of this.
It's massive.
I mean, I had questions about, how are these container ships gonna come in, because they're the ones who've got all the food that they're bringing in from all around the world. So,
Yeah. It's a
apparently they're
huge.
gonna, yeah. I mean,
It's going to be work. Well, it's going to be worked through, isn't it? There's
it
you
will.
mentioned the interesting situation with insurance. Because I mean, I'll hold my hand up here. I mean, I'm sure because you had trips planned yourself. But I was supposed to be next week. I was supposed to be in Torremolinos, and I mean that that's well on the trodden path for international holidays. And of course, the news about coronavirus starts to build, so I start to get nervous, and I'm thinking I'm not nervous about me because I'm in the faraway bracket, but I'm looking at this thinking, if I go there, who's going to pick me up from the airport where after I've been potentially exposed to it, it'd be my parents, both of whom are over the target age range and have long-term lung issues. So I'm thinking, I'm going to bring this thing back. I could be fine myself. So I got really worried, and I was thinking, I can't cancel it because it's up, so up to the point. So if I can't cancel it, I've lost all of the money for the holiday. What I need is that decision to be made. And for me, but on that case, the government did step in and make that decision, and flights were turned around. But the whole kind of what am I entitled to? What aren't I entitled to? Today, that announcement should have settled all of that, I thought. Yeah.
It's still obviously down to each individual insurance company, and it was good to see that the Chancellor had meetings with the insurance companies too, to say that you guys have got to step up to the plate and help us out, because you can't start putting roadblocks in. We've got to try and help everybody to get through this, so that's good. But I also think the airlines too have started to be much more efficient about, you can change, you can switch, you can do all these things. I mean, British Airways, for instance, I know issue a voucher which is valid, which you can change a flight between now, I think, and the 31st of May. If you've got all those plans, you can change it for flights next year. You've got this voucher. I think EasyJet are automatically crediting back to people any of the flights that they've cancelled, which is excellent. Wizz Air are doing the same thing. They're all suddenly gearing up. They haven't had long to do this, and I think as the days go by, I think it will become a lot clearer to everybody. Particularly, with cruises being cancelled, they're offering alternatives. but you can't go eternity because you can't go anywhere. So it's, you know, yeah. I remember looking, I was, my flight got cancelled last week. And before it got cancelled, I was looking at the check-in, you know, and the flight going out, there was literally two seats taken, nothing else.
Two seats on a whole plane?
Yeah. Yeah, and this was in an EasyJet flight, and it was just two seats were taken. And I thought,
that's
wow.
That's extraordinary. Yeah. An airline won't make any money on that.
Well, no. And then you've got this other thing of these ghost flights, you know, they were doing. Did you hear
Is this the empty planes flying to pick people up to bring them back? Is that what that is?
No. This was just so they could keep the slots on their routes. Because the law had changed and said if you don't fly out and make use of your slot, then you lose it. So they just had to fly empty planes to make sure that they didn't do it.
Wow.
They've changed the law now again because obviously it was getting crazy. So
I've got to say, one of the most extraordinary things I've heard. Andy Mossack is here with us on the Late Show. Usually, travel logs from around the world, but obviously today there's quite a lot to talk about in terms of coronavirus and the impact on travel. Mm. One of the most extraordinary things I saw is a place that I've been to a lot down the years. Haven't been for a few years, but you look at one of the great tourist sites, really, for good or ill, is Las Vegas, and they have had an extraordinary turn over the last couple of weeks. There was statistics came out showing that some of the biggest hotels on the Las Vegas Strip, had they not decided to sort of shut, they were looking at 6% occupancy on a night in some of these enormous hotels. And you think, my good Lord, I mean, there's never been anything like this. Even after 9/11, it wasn't like this in Las Vegas.
No.
No.
Actually, there is a small crumb of comfort. I mean, the big international chains hotels, I don't know if you know, but most of them, I would say, only manage the properties. They don't actually own them. So probably 80 to 90% of the properties they have, they're in as managers and managing the whole thing. It's owned by independent, they would have an owner. And I suppose that's they don't have the property itself to worry about in terms of the cost and the overhead, but they still have to obviously run the whole infrastructure. So it is just as bad for the big guys as it is for the small guys.
So what do you
know? Actually, I was going to say, it came back to me last week. I went to this travel trade event in London, and it's the equivalent of a sort of a business speed dating. You get 15-minute interviews with various tourist boards from all over the world, and the whole thing is really just to update you on future attractions to look forward to. You know, it's a really nice thing, and
sounds nice.
You meet so many nice people, and it's just 15 minutes, so they go, bell rings, and you move on to the next one. But they made this a no touching event. Nobody could do anything. The tables were 1 meter apart. You know, it was just so clinical. And it's such a shame because all these people want to do is to come and present their homeland to, you know, to visitors and get visitors to come and visit them. But, you know, it just took away all the fun. So I think everyone couldn't wait to get out. It's a shame.
Well,
really.
Do you know what? It won't be forever. The world will get back to, well, we're going to have for a short period, I would imagine, we're going to have something like a new normal. And once we've established the new normal, eventually things will go back to the old normal. What I must say, I mean, have you got anything booked in at all? Have you hedging your bets and thinking you have?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I have, because I have to work at least 2 months ahead. So the thing is, it's just a question of waiting to see. I mean, certain things like for the US, for instance, it's a 30-day ban, but we'll have to wait and see what happens after the 30 days. So we don't know. I think it's literally going to be month by month, day by day. Whatever, hour by hour, even. We'll have to see. But let's just hope,
Okay.
We just hope, Andy, that there is always going to be light at the end of the tunnel. Always.
There certainly will be. You've got to stay positive. Andy, it's been really nice to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming on. Even though we didn't have to do a series of clues to figure out you were in your lounge.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, that I'm not twinned with anyone either.
Oh, no. Oh, what a shame. We could have had a special ceremony. That'd be great. You take care of yourself, Andy, and we'll speak to you soon, okay?
Yeah, see you soon. Take care.
Take care. There goes Andy Mossack, International Man of Mystery, live from his house. John